need it. Get comfortable, sit back and relax. Enjoy the pipes. But no, I was at a luthier's shop once, Hanson and Crawford up in Durham. They're some of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And this gentleman came in and he had like a, I think it was a D45 as well. And it was clearly fake, but he just bought it. I think at Guitar Center or something.
Oh boy.
They had to have the bad news of telling him, but it was a good guitar. It was actually good. It sounded good. I was like, you know, if you're happy and it makes, brings you pleasure, just don't ever resell it.
Yeah.
So that's why we've hung on to this like fake right here.
Yeah.
That's Jeremy that just said, yeah, Jeremy, the guitar hunter.
Hey.
So Jeremy, do a song for us.
That's how we start here from Virginia. Yeah.
That's how we start all of our podcasts.
Good.
We have the guest has to sing a song.
Okay.
And kind of gets us in the mood.
Starting
whatever
today.
Happens now. Who else is here?
It's the new inaugural thing.
We usually have to take the pants off, but
that's right. That's
I have my pants off for the video earlier.
You did have your pants off for the video. People don't see below our waist.
I just think better, you know, with no pants.
That's what my children do. I feel like they are never with pants on. Once they come in the house, the pants are gone.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, my kids in socks. Not a chance.
Can you ever find the original sock pairings again? They just somehow they're gone.
It took me too long in my life to figure, hey, if I just buy 30 pairs of the same set of sock,
it doesn't matter.
Just put them in the drawer.
My wife she steals mine. They disappear. She's wearing one of my socks. She's wearing a kid's sock.
She is a horror show. I cannot believe you still let her sleep in the same house with you.
I know.
So Jeremy, what do you do? I heard you are a valet.
Oh, I don't know.
No, Jeremy is what he says he is. He's a guitar hunter.
Yeah.
But you have an awesome YouTube channel.
Thank you. So yeah, so I buy and sell guitars. I bring people along for vloggy kinds of videos. And then along the way, I've started doing a lot of demos and helping people figure out how to buy the right guitar, sell their own guitars, collect guitars, all the skills around guitars. That's my goal.
But no, your YouTube channel, like I talked to you on the videos, like I love the one you did about not selling a reverb anymore and some of the old like vintage Martins that you've been a part of like buying and helping people find. And it's a good, fun channel. And I don't like a lot of guitar YouTube channels.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I didn't plan on getting into YouTube.
No one plans on working at a music store either. It just happens.
Yeah.
When everything else in life fails.
It happens to you.
Yeah. But
it's like herpes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Sure. It was fun to end up there though.
Yeah.
The 23-year-old's like, shit, what have I done? Sorry, Jeremy, go.
This is who you have to become in front of you. The three roads diverge in the woods. I don't know. I didn't start out planning to make YouTube videos. I was buying and selling guitars because I was in a sales job and I covered 5 states. And I'd always be in tiny little towns. And I'd have, you know, like, well, my meeting's over at 2:00. I don't want to go to my hotel and like
hang out for 8 hours.
Yeah. So it's like, what am I going to do? And then I just start finding tiny little guitar shops and pawn shops and finding just like insane guitars. And then also it's like, well, if you go down the road, I mean, Teddy still lives down there. It's his guitar. You can hear the story. And so I'd buy the guitar and then I'd go meet the guy that owned it for 60 years. And he'd tell me about playing for nickels in the French Quarter.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And so I was like, I just need to bring a camera along for this stuff.
Maybe that's what my wife meant by she used to work in the French Quarter for money.
Yeah, nickels. Just nickels.
She didn't say nickels.
Rolls and nickels.
Nickels and dimes.
She would get quarters, my friends. No, that's in a very organic. That does remind me of sort of George Gruen's sort of starting path in some ways. He just started selling a few, then
he's
behemoth of a seller. You just grown into like a strange YouTube. Can I call you a phenom? A young, gorgeous phenom?
I don't know if I'm not young, gorgeous, or phenomenal.
I think you're young and gorgeous.
There have been many, if you watch these videos, there are many compliments on my looks from Baxter, which I appreciate.
I'm like, God, what a
you're so
Miley Fox.
Yeah.
There's a saved Google Images search.
It's like a Pornhub account. It's like set for Jeremy only, the guitar hunter.
It's in the spank.
You'll be disappointed.
It's a deep fake.
Keira Knightley's body, Jeremy's face.
Yeah.
God bless.
Look at his skin. It's
so good.
That
would confuse my like DNA so much. Oh my gosh. So what are you doing up here in North Carolina right now?
So I had some scheduling stuff open up and I sent a message and Jonathan was like, hey, come hang out. I was like, hey, I have like 2 days next week and come hang. And so I also didn't check any of the GPS, and I came down, drove 5 hours, and then I realized that my little brother's house, who I was planning on staying with, is 2 hours from here.
Yeah, it's a no-go for you, man.
So, might be sleeping on the couch in the front of the casino. 2 hours west
as well.
So. Yeah, which is not like it's... Way. Yeah, this is the wrong way for me. So
you're going to have like an 8-hour return trip.
I was wondering, because I did not take a single interstate on the way down here. I was just on back roads the whole way, and then I just appeared in this town.
That's the way to Casino Guitars. It's back roads.
Okay. It's magical, but the way changes every time.
It does.
It's never the same twice.
And you're not supposed to end up here. You just end up.
Is that because of like traffic or like wizards or trolls?
We keep
mostly wizards, little traffic.
We try to keep folks away.
There you go.
What's your favorite guitar you've seen in the past like few weeks or?
That's months? A great question. Besides favorite guitar I've played today here, because we've been here kind of filming and making videos, and that custom shop, the Nocaster, the top left one.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Is amazing. Yeah, I mean, that's like, that guitar is down the middle for me. Just cool, butterscotch, Blackguard. I love that guitar. But other than that, I've been running through a bunch of really cool guitars. I just played a new guitar that Ben Padgett is building with Padgett Guitars in Monterey, Virginia. It's a little L00 that's cherry back and sides.
I like little guitars.
Yes.
And his is like it's a 39 Gibbs or a 37 L00 shape, but it's cherry back and sides, Sitka spruce on the top. It's a really great guitar.
That's awesome. And I know you've had some hands-on with some of the new Gallaghers coming out too, right?
Yeah, I just spent a couple days last month with David Mathis from Gallagher, and we had the Jumbos, which they just launched. I think they're the J70. I forget what their actual model name is because we had three prototypes. But those are really cool, and I think it's exciting to see a brand that's so synonymous with bluegrass starting to move into more fingerstyle, more folk, just kind of getting out from that laser focus.
His guitars, they've always been great guitars. And I think the relaunch we saw it at Merlefest, and they're great pieces. We hung out with the guys. You're going to be there at Merlefest this year.
Yeah.
You'll literally be cross-tent from us.
I've never been to Merlefest. I'm excited.
It's awesome, dude. There's no alcohol or cigarettes. You can't eat there either.
Really? No eating?
I'm just kidding about the eating part.
It would seem like...
You might not want to eat. Some of the food's pretty bad.
That is kind of true, but...
It was like the Thai food was like... It's Thai food cooked by like Western North Carolina like culinary students.
You're like, nothing says Thai food like a bluegrass festival.
Very authentic.
It's some rough Thai food. But no, it's a great festival.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, I think it's really fun. We sell the Taylor guitars there, which is shocking how many Taylor guitars we sell at a bluegrass festival.
Which I'm glad that those paradigm shifts are happening.
Well, we'll still have that one guy, that one customer has cracked me up still.
I would never.
That was his quote as he walked by. I would never. Sir, would you like to see it? I would never. It was all that came out.
That's funny. There, when I think of that guy, because you said he's like in overalls. Yeah. That guy in the guitar shop I used to work in was called Two Gun Terry. And he'd lean his head in the door and be like, "Hey, fellas, you got any good old Martins in here? All right, see you Peckerwoods later."
There you go.
That's it.
Yeah, I might be related to that guy.
We got a guy. I found myself looking for like those overalls. I don't need a t-shirt under him either.
Well, that's the sort of new sexual overture, like saying that you're available.
Yeah, it's.
To man, woman, or beast.
Sending out a very specific message.
I don't necessarily want to be available, but I do kind of want some overalls.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
Overalls are cool.
All right.
I mean,
but I do think they're a little buckly and a little rivety for guitars.
I do like that we're having an explosion in sort of like, we thought it all ended with Mumford & Sons, like as far as the neo grass and neo folk.
Yeah.
But like the fact that the Lumineers are charting at the top.
Yep.
And the Spotify, YouTube Music, Apple, they've all spent a fortune on marketing that band.
Yeah.
Which is not a band they would normally market.
Yeah.
It's amazing. That there's like, hands on guitars, like boots on the deck. It's like people playing real instruments again and they're writing great songs and it's popular.
And absolutely.
So I'm excited to see like there's, because you deal primarily with acoustics.
Yeah. That's just kind of like the way I've said it before is like, I love electric guitars and I will lose sleep over acoustic guitars. And so for me, like, I love electric guitars and I pay attention to a ton of them, but when I'm like, what wood combination was that guitar? So I get super fired up when I see, especially like Coulter Wall playing. I mean, it's very similar to your 017. Mm-hmm. Wait, he plays a 015 or a 0017.
Yep, I think so.
But that's an amazing guitar to see. And then the other one are the new Waterloos being played. What's her name? Phoebe Bridgers?
Oh, yeah. She's playing Waterloos?
She's playing Waterloos.
I think Derek was talking about trying to get Phoebe at the Rooster. I was like, she might be a little bit beyond.
Yeah. She's top of the world.
It wasn't Phoebe. It was someone else. It was another artist that sort of was sort of launched at the same that camp.
Julian Baker?
No, she's from North Carolina.
Okay.
James listens to her a lot. I can't remember the name of it. It's going to break my heart now. I'll think about it all day. I've already forgotten what we're talking about.
Who is the Martin artist model that they released last week? The woman.
Holy cat. I don't even know.
They just did it on their Instagram. But it seemed like the stuff Martin's doing in the last couple weeks is like, oh, they are shifting gears, moving.
Wait, there's female guitar players?
Exactly. There's Taylor Swift. But.
Right. Is now a Gibson player.
I forgot about that.
Which is funny, not on the Taylor train as much because she doesn't need their name. She makes more money than Taylor Guitars does.
Yeah.
Which is a disturbing thought, but maybe okay.
Brooke Ligertwood.
Oh, there you go.
Is it a production run or is it a custom?
It's a 0018. It's an artist model.
Like production run?
I think so.
That's crazy. I didn't even see that released. So much for this marquee dealer status.
There it is.
They just want our string money.
Dark Sunburst, custom inlay on the headstock. Other than that, it looks like a fairly normal 0028.
I love Martins.
Me too.
I have a thing for Martins. I love guitars, but I love old Martins, but I really love new Martins right now too. Those ones you just played, the 37 Authentic. The aged one, like he popped in, he saw a case, he got in there, and you called it. That's the best guitar in there,
dude. I have one video that I go back and watch that is my favorite acoustic guitar I've played in the last 15 years, and it is one of those. It wasn't VTS, but it was at Carter Vintage. It was a 37 D18, and that one had Madagascar rosewood.
Yep.
What are these?
That's Madagascar rosewood as well. There's something. It's just. I feel like the Madagascar Rosewood Martin has now is as good as any Brazilian you're going to get now.
Yep.
Because I've seen a lot of these new Brazilians come out. It's just not good.
Yeah.
For what you're paying $25,000, and which is insanity. I know. We just had pizza, so we're going to have lots of burps and spicy
I'm
percolating. Water.
I'm trying.
It was buffalo pizza.
I was going to say buffalo chicken pizza. even better.
Running for the bathroom in a little bit after this.
Might not be just burps.
Oh my God. Bottom burps is what like.
It's like when you first turn on a garden hose, like.
Fire and hole.
That's like me in the bedroom. Sean's like throwing up. At the same time, his pants are coming off. That's weird. But no, I think Martin is building amazing guitars right now.
Absolutely.
Some of the best. I think it's a golden era for Martin is sort of happening right now. If you're a new buyer, their new Modern Deluxe series came out, but those Authentics are just, but they're expensive, but they're a different level.
The reimagined, from 2012 for the D18, those were the first ones that blew my mind. Like, I didn't realize that a D18 could be that good.
Because it was like the 2016 is when like the full reimagining came, I think.
Across 2017, I think, was the model year for the 28. They've staggered.
Yeah.
I think the D41 and 45 was in 16. But, all of them, it's interesting because I feel like Martin always gets tied to, they have so much tradition.
Correct.
That it just, sticks them to where, it's not a dovetail joint neck. And, they're all still dovetail, I believe, and they're nitro finishes.
Well, fortunately, that population is sort of migrating to another plane. As far as, people that just get all, they're dying.
Plane of existence.
Yeah, thinking that they're like the elves going off into that nether place.
But we
all need to be that way. It's like Martin builds a great guitar. We have to change a little bit with technology.
Yeah.
And unless you want to jump into the authentic period ones, which I think are the best, but they come at the best price.
They're kind of hard to live with too.
There's no truss rod.
Yeah. The logistics of having a guitar without an adjustable truss rod. Which there's this tiny little bit in the Martin, the technical guide on why they didn't, because it's always struck me that Martin didn't put adjustable truss rods until 1985.
Right.
And Gibson was putting them in 1933.
That's strange, right?
51 years.
What's the reasoning there again?
They said that they wanted to save their customer money because they believed their customers were farmers that lived in the same place and didn't travel much. And so they said, you're not moving to different climates. We can save you a couple dollars.
Man, that's wild.
Yeah.
That's the worst idea.
And then you're like, I mean, the basic rule of thumb, right, is every Martin before 85 is going to need a neck reset.
Yeah.
Except for that 42 over there.
That's true.
That lived in the desert for 3 years.
Crazy. How's
that? That doesn't make any sense. Then came back to New Jersey and then made its way down to North Carolina.
Okay.
Strange little journey, right?
That was a wild farmer.
Yeah, he farmed Nazis is what that farmer did. He was fighting the fascist Third Reich there over in Saudi Arabia.
Well, you don't think much about Saudi Arabia.
Well, the Middle East
the Middle East in World War II. But you think about like Northern Africa and all that.
Well, yeah, I mean that was like he was flying transport planes.
Yeah,
so he wasn't really technically fighting, but
he was still slaughtering them.
I like to imagine.
So I have a story about a guitar that was in World War II. Or claimed to be in World War II. So there was a guy that used to always come in the guitar shop I worked in, and he had an amazing round-shouldered Southern Jumbo. And he told all these stories that this was with me in Bayonne, this was with me at Normandy, I brought this guitar with me, and that's why there's no finish left on it. And he would always bring it in, and it's the same guy that also taught me how to Travis pick.
Wow.
And I kind of knew, like, this guy, like, he's pretty much bigger than life. He never would let me look that close at his guitar. And one day something happened and needed me to restring it and look at a possible crack. I'm looking at it and I look inside and I look at the serial number. And I'm like, this is a 47. It's like World War II and it in 45. And I was like, hey Ted, is this the same guitar that you had back then? And this guy, like, he sells prints at the farmer's market at that. Like, if you're in the Shenandoah Valley, most restaurants you go to, if there's a cool old artsy guitar in it, it's this old Southern Jumbo. And I asked him about it, and he's just like, oh, no, you're wrong. And then he never let me play that guitar again.
That's sad.
I know, and it's like...
He knew the one person that like sort of knew the... Which is really funny, because serial numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
It's the one sort of telltale.
Yeah.
It's...
Because I don't think... Here's a question I don't know the answer to. The Southern Jumbo didn't even start. Was 46 the first? I think 46 was the first year of the Southern Jumbo.
I think so too. Yeah,
because I think it was all banners, like banner 45s.
The research department's pulling it up on their cell phones.
This is good. This is different than normally. It's me just having to like do a jump cut.
No, we don't do any edits.
3 minutes of Googling.
I'm just like Jamie on Joe Rogan. It's the same.
Jamie,
what are you bringing this thing out for?
What that?
Oh, is he out? Oh, that's funny.
Ignore me.
We never got to shoot that either. We almost lost it.
Danger.
Sean's
danger.
Long leg. Whoop, you're about to unplug the thing too. This is live audio, gentlemen's. Okay, we'll see you later. Bye, Sean. See you in a few minutes.
Bye. Love you.
We're losing Les Paul. That's the way life works.
Second memory right there.
But yeah, so Southern Jumbos.
Yeah, it's funny how the stories of guitars that mean a lot to me, and I love them, and I'll accentuate them sometimes just to make it more fun. But I do like a guitar with a story. You got the year?
42.
Okay. Whiz. So it could have happened. So
it's possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. The truth is there now. 42. Same year as that little Martin over there. Maybe they could have met in some alternate universe in World War II. Except for mine was not in Normandy. And I find it hard to think of a guitar like storming the beaches of Normandy.
You get on your back. You gig back.
We got to remember a lot of people came in transports after the actual initial landing phase.
Yeah.
You know, that's most of the soldiers at Normandy were not. They were like clerks and, you know, clerical type of like things.
Because you don't think about like you're committing, like it's land war. So they got to go and set up tents and like they'll be behind the line.
There's a whole village coming in to set up the supply lines that came in afterwards instead of this whole town. Like, but the invasion force is that's the stuff you see in Saving Private Ryan. They're not carrying a Southern Jumbo on that one.
Yeah.
Only Ukes. Ukes only Ukes in the invasion force, guys. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe a Bible if you're a chaplain.
Maybe.
Or some explosives blow up the tank traps. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Some of those stories, man, they're just bigger than... And that's where, with that one, I just had to be like, okay, like the story is cooler than the guitar itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just let him have it too. It brings him joy. And it doesn't, like, doesn't matter unless he's trying to sell it for this valuation. Because
the reality is, like, I'm sure he had a guitar, but at the same time, like, what 17-year-old would have been able to afford a Southern Jumbo coming out of the Great Depression into World War II?
Not many.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it, to a much lesser degree, I have people bring in their guitars and they want to know, they want to sell them to us or whatever. And, my dad had this in 19, blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, this guitar is from the 80s or the 70s. You know what I mean? It's just.
Yeah.
I did have that one harmony on the wall over there with the replacement pick guard. I love the story on that because it was an old jazz guy from New Orleans. A New Orleans guy. He brought it up. He wanted to sell it. And he pulled it out and it's got a bullet hole in it. It goes through. Cool. It goes through the front too, and went through the case, blew the original pick guard away. But he said, "Took my toe off." I'm like, "All right, prove it. Take your shoe off." And then he took his shoe off, and he didn't have a toe, so we bought it.
That's good.
I was like, "That's cool." Like, I don't care if that's actually true, but he didn't have a toe, and so I think it is true to me now. That's as true as you can.
Actually,
that's good.
Yeah, I mean, like, it looked guitar. Like. I mean, there weren't burn wounds or anything, but this was also, you know, decades ago.
I like that.
I like moments like that. It makes me happy.
I saw a meme the other day that was like a banjo player and a fiddle player playing side by side, and the fiddle player was on the right, and it was like, this picture was taken just moments before One-Eyed Ricky got his nickname.
Okay, that's pretty good. Everyone listening is like, what?
You got you got to think about it now. I'm just kidding.
What's your favorite thing about buying guitars?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, other than the guitar. My favorite thing, I view life through the lens of relationship. And so for me, like if I can connect with somebody and hear their story, pass on, like, I carry a guitar strap that says Dane. Like when I play out, I play with a guitar strap that has Dane engraved on it. And my name's not Dane. And, but Dane the Guitar Hunter. But no, I bought a 75 Martin D35 from a guy that I found on Craigslist in Brobridge, Louisiana.
Pause. The 75 D35, I've played one. It was one of the best Martins I've ever played.
They're so good.
With a little K&K in it. Unbelievable.
Whoa.
Unbelievable.
And that guitar is super bassy, and then you put a K&K. Thunderous.
I did it in like sort of 300 to 500 seat theaters. So I was doing this with Showrun. Unreal sound. Crushed every other guitar that came. Every Taylor, every Martin, everything tried it. Like new pickups, trash compared to that thing.
That's great. They're great guitars. So this one showed up and I wanted to own it and have it for a couple months. And so I went and I met this guy whose name was Dane. And we sit down and he was just like, well, I drove all the way here. Want sit down and have a cup of coffee? And so we sit at a Dairy Queen and we're having a cup of coffee and he's telling me his life story. And he's saying like, well, I learned how to play guitar in the late 40s. And then my wife and I, we'd sing songs and play, and my guitar got stolen. So in 1975, I bought this guitar, and I bought it. And the first day I had it, I wrote a love song for my wife. And then that's where it ended up just being with us all across South Louisiana. He's like, I played this in every Baptist church in Texas and Louisiana. I've played this, and I'd sing love songs to my wife. And she passed away a couple months ago, and I can't really sing those songs anymore. And then he told me that he had just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And he said, it's not going to be long before, he's like, everybody I know that I played for is dead at this point. I mean, this guy's probably in his 90s, late 80s.
Oh, wow, he's there.
And so he's saying, like, everybody I know is about gone, and it won't be long before nobody remembers me. I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry about that. And so kind of a natural pause in the conversation. I pulled out cash. I paid him for the guitar. And I was like, well, do you want anything out of the case? And he's pulling out stuff. So he pulled out a picture of his wife and some old guitar strings. And then he pulls out his guitar strap that says Dane, and he hands it to me. And I was like, no, this, I want you to keep this. He's like, no, I want you to keep it. You play it and you remember me. Tell people about me. And it wasn't this like selfish thing. It was just like, and because he said, he is the one who said, I believe that music and friendship makes the world a better place. And so that's where like the tagline for my YouTube channel is music and friendship.
That's a great philosophy. Great story too.
It is.
It's a sweet. I mean,
it's cool. It's neat that guitars can be these bridges to different generations that are even past their families. We sold that 64 Strat that I was telling you about earlier. We named it the Bootlegger's Flame.
Cool.
Because the history, it had a really, it was a 64 Strat with a really flamey neck, which is rare. You don't see flame neck Strats except for the custom shop. And every once in a while you see one and it makes it worth more. But the guitar's has history. It started off a family of bootleggers, you know, and what was the name of the town? Went blank. It's not Beaufort. It's a beautiful Eastern North Carolina, like, ocean town. I just went blank. I can't believe I forgot the name.
New Bern.
Thank you.
Yeah. I've got family in New Bern.
Yeah, I love New Bern. It's got a great little diner that we ate there. Yeah, Derek and I drove up there. I have my little tool, because I'm taking this guitar apart to look at it when I'm paying for it. and we got the video. But you know, we videoed the, you know, her husband had passed away. It was his guitar. Yeah. So we videoed the wife so we could have that on record for whoever has it if they wanted it. I just think it's important to preserve these when you have the chance.
Absolutely.
And then, but the story was that it was her husband's who he was a gospel preacher, but he found Jesus sort of later in life, and his family was a family of bootleggers all the way back like to the 20s and stuff where they started, and then it was criminals, and the way this guitar came in his possession as a child when somebody, his father was like a loan shark or something at that point, owed his dad money. He's like, well, you can either get broken legs or give me that guitar. You know, so it started off as like this life of sin. Found God, found Jesus. You know, and then it just found a new home. It went out to Seattle. We sold it to a gentleman out there. He ended up selling it to Emerald City Guitars, I think.
Yeah,
for
to trade great it. Shop.
And it's a great shop. And then, but then he called me later and was like, I can't believe I sold it. I've regretted that every day since I sold it. I think it ended up somewhere in Japan.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's
yeah. Flamey.
Yeah.
Clean one owner. Cool
story. It was
story.
Beat to hell. It was
really
original case too.
Okay. Cool. I mean,
and the original, the original trim, original everything. You know, it was one of those. That's what's neat when you get across those stories and
yeah.
And you get to pass it on. And hopefully the new owners enjoy it and appreciate it. And it needed a refret, but I don't like to do that unless you got to.
Yeah. So, man.
That's a whole, we've had YouTube videos on that and I know the guys say, like, if it doesn't get a refret, it's not worth anything, but I don't know. I can play with the old frets.
It still works. That's like people that say that only true bypass pedals are good, but you're like, Jimi Hendrix didn't have a true bypass.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Or just be like me and don't use any pedals.
Yeah.
It's just
crazy talk.
It's just too much work. So how long have you known Jeremy here, Jonathan?
Since about 11 o'clock today.
Yeah.
Because I've known him much longer on YouTube.
No, but it was funny because like the way you guys communicated on, was it Instagram you guys talked?
Yeah.
It was funny. I was like, oh, I just figured you guys were friends or something. I was like, oh, you guys don't really know each other yet.
But I think we're like cut from the same cloth.
I think that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I've known who you are for a couple of years. And because people have like sent me videos of like, you should watch these guys. Or like maybe you mentioned something or like.
I think, yeah. So for a while we were doing this thing called Fret Buzz, where I would find my favorite.
Did you mention his?
He was one of my first, like,
I think so, yeah.
Things that I was like, hey, you gotta watch this guy. I figured he would have been later
because you were desperate trying to find content.
I mean, it was, yeah, you just happened to be, no. But I have always enjoyed your videos.
Thanks,
I
man.
Love the stuff, you mentioned this earlier, the idea of helping people sell their own guitars.
Yes.
You forget to look at it as this journey. Like, I think about it all the time, the gear that I have now, it's taken me 20-something years to, like, arrive there. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I just think that's cool. I think that's a cool philosophy, and I think your channel sort of shows that in a
interesting way. And, yeah, because it's, like, it's an emotional hit.
It is.
Where you're like, oh, man, I worked hard, and I saved up, and I watched every YouTube video, and I asked all my friends, and I bought this, and I hate it. And, like, who am I? Like, it's hard to not come into that existential, who am I?
Oh, my God. Yeah, right. Well, because you think you're upgrading. You
That's
know?
Me every time I buy a Les Paul. Like, why? Why did I buy this?
Age-old struggle.
It is. We have a love-hate relationship with Gibson. Like, it's because we love Gibson, but then it's like, then we just hate it sometimes. Cause
yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I ended up building out this whole kind of philosophy and, like, how I visualize the 6 or 8 guitars that I should own. Yeah. And, and all of that, it just comes from buying hundreds of the wrong guitar. And I think it's also like part of being a guitar hunter too, is like, you don't get to be that picky about what you're looking for.
Right.
Like if you want to own guitars, you're going to have to buy whatever guitars are for sale around you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me, that was lots of shreddy Ibanez RGs and
hell yeah.
Yeah. Which are awesome.
Yes. We are Ibanez Artcore fans here too.
Oh, I like those.
I think they're great. Some of the best, like sort of undeserved, like they don't understand, like people don't understand how good some of those guitars are.
It's true. Yeah. I have a lot of like emotional baggage about playing an Ibanez. There's something in me.
From your youth?
Yeah. Just something about like, I mean, I worked in a guitar shop that I think kind of taught me to be pretentious about names on headstocks. And so, yeah, Ibanez is one of those. I think it's also because Ibanez doesn't make their own guitars. They, like, everything is purchased from other companies. And, like, even their pedals are, like, Maxon. And
that's really strange, isn't it? It's just kind of, it's a strange thing, though.
Well, that's why, because I think it's, like, there were some early 2000s Ibanez guitars when they would have those really molded looking locking trims.
Oh, yeah.
And then they would break, and then you couldn't find parts for them. And so all of a sudden you're like, getting a tap and die and putting a Kaler like chrome one on there. And it just.
Well, speaking, I mentioned earlier like some of your greatest guitar buying moments. What are some of the ones that you wish never happened? Or just give me one of your worst buying guitar experiences.
I've only ever lost money on two guitars.
Well, not about losing money, just the experience. That Maroon 5 when like that fan touches him and he like sort of shakes it off like the pretentious snob that he is. It's like the worst.
Oh man, I really have to think about this.
Maybe there haven't been any.
There haven't been many. I've had more bad selling experiences.
Well, give us your worst selling experience. Or just one that comes to mind.
I had a 71 Martin D1235 that is a 12 string D35. This is a guitar I never should have sold, and I ended up selling it to just a dummy that didn't know what he was doing.
Oh, no.
So I love this guitar. It actually has a North Carolina tie-in. It had the guys on the back strip by the in pin. It had the guy, it said NC, and then it had a guy's social security number scraped into it. And inside it had Dwayne or David, or it was like his name was like scribbled inside of it. And I just thought it was so cool. And I got it for $1,100.
Okay.
It played great. I just really liked this guitar. I bought it from a pawn shop in New Orleans. And
so it's a good buying story.
Yeah, but it was like I had a couple little kids. I had 8 guitars. I was closing my guitar shop. I was like, we're moving across the country. I just need to free up some cash.
Sure.
And so I put it up for sale on Reverb. This is one of the first Reverb deals that totally just went wrong. So the guy got it and said, there's a crack from the pick guard to the bridge. And this guitar was filthy. I can't believe you'd sell something so dirty. I was like, I played that guitar every day for like 6 months. Like, it's not dirty. It's like I babied this thing. I love this guitar. And so I asked him to send pictures, and he sent super grainy, low-quality pictures. But then he, before he even asked me for any resolution, he went through Reverb's resolution. And then Reverb reached out and said that going to give him $1,000 back.
What?
Yeah, so they said the resolution that we suggest is $1,000 back to the buyer. And he paid $1,800. So it's like, I'm not giving that. Like, I'm...
Oh, my Lord.
And so they... Like, they're like, well, sorry, this is already resolved. This is settled. He's happy with it. I was like, I'm not happy with it. I'm not doing that deal. Have him send it back to me.
Yeah, just give me the guitar back.
Yeah. So he sent it back to me and he paid shipping back. Reverb wouldn't let me reinforce my restocking fee, which I don't care, but I got that guitar back. And then a friend of mine in town played in church and wanted a 12 string. And so he paid me $2,000 for it right in town. It was super easy. But it was just one of those, like...
It just makes you feel ill.
Well, yeah, that's what gets me. It's like, it's a great guitar.
Well, that's what we found that on Reverb and just on the online shopping in general when we sell guitars. If somebody has buyer remorse...
Oh, yeah.
Or they don't... Mm-hmm. They just don't want it or they can't afford it.
They'll find any reason.
What we've had happen multiple times, which we think is hilarious, is this pick guard is filthy and dirty. We sent it back. I'm like, have you taken the plastic off the pick guard? There's no plastic on it. 100% of the time, we get the guitar back, there's plastic on the pickguard.
We had a guy who was such a pain about it, too, because he had pre-ordered this guitar and everything.
That was
like
a GT. I remember him. He was out west.
We had opened it up, checked it, made sure the guitar was good, put it back in the case. I don't think any of us played it, you know? And we sent it to him.
And it turned out that guitar was actually used by Taylor for their advertising well.
Wow. Because
it was such a pretty piece of wood on the back and sides.
Yeah.
It's just like a GT or something. It was like a $1,400 guitar, not like a showpiece for them.
And he emailed and called and rose up the storm within, you know, just 24, 48 hours of getting the guitar or whatever. We were like, okay, well, you know, have you tried to take plastic? There's no plastic on it. Like Baxter said, we will get that to the end and it shows back up. Plastic. Right off the, you know, and it was like, yeah, okay.
And that's where I've been trying to gently, there's two ways I can handle this. I could blow people up and make people feel bad, and that's not my style.
You just refund them, let them go on his day. We don't need to deal with it.
So the thing I'm trying to do gently, instead of blowing people up, is to just say, hey, here are 5 things you need to know about buying guitars. And it just coming from a voice of like, hey, as someone that worked in a guitar shop, I don't want you to look like an idiot. Here you go. But those videos don't do great. But
because they're not controversial.
Well, because people don't think that they're irresponsible, or they think they already know.
That's it, right? Yeah. The people who probably need to hear it are like, "Oh yeah, no, I'm good."
Look, I'm glad one of us made this video.
Right. Thank God.
Yeah.
Finally,
because yeah. I had a video that I ended up taking down. I've only taken down a couple videos, but I was selling a good. Oh, this is another bad experience. Oh, yeah, so I was selling a 67 Favilla F5. So main competitor to Martin, made in New York City from what, the 30s to the 60s. Mm-hmm. And really great guitar, is completely undervalued in my opinion. You can get them for under $1,000. And you're like, it's basically a 0018. And so I got this, it was great. I shot a bunch of videos with it. I was ready to move it. And so I put it on local Craigslist, but this is a guitar that people aren't going to know around me. Right. A guy is like, oh, I would love to buy this guitar. I'll meet you at this coffee shop at this time. This is like right in the middle of COVID time. Hey. And so we meet, we sit outside like 10 feet apart. It's like 45 degrees outside. So then the guitar won't stay in tune. And the guy is just playing. And then he's like, I forgot a capo. I'll be right back. So he walks for like 20 minutes back to his truck, comes back, gets a capo. And then he just plays the same riff in C. First fret, second fret, third fret, fourth fret, fifth fret. And like, he probably played for 45 minutes. Good and Lord. I'm freezing. And
I didn't think about the coldness.
Yeah. And then at the end, he's like, well, I think, you know, this guitar is for my wife, so I'm pretty sure she's going to like it. I was like, well, she should probably be here because this is an unusual guitar. And he's like, no, like, she trusts me. She'll like it if I like it. It's like, okay. And then he's like, okay, well, I'll take it, but can I return it if I don't like it? It's like, I'm not a guitar shop, man. Like, I'm just a guy. So no returns. He's like, okay, well, how about, like, can I have the weekend? It's like, okay, sure. You can. And it was a Friday afternoon. So you can have Saturday and Sunday. By Sunday, deal's done. And he's like, okay. So then he goes home. Oh, he texts me Sunday morning, a couple days later. This guitar's terrible. I got to return it. I'm going to give it back. Oh, no, before we even left, he's like, oh, do you have a pen? I was like, no, I don't have a pen. He's like, I got to write you a check. I was like, no checks.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what?
Like, yeah. I told you to bring cash. And I showed him, like, in the text, like, here. Like, I said, bring cash. And we had a bunch of mutual friends, and then we go to the same bank. So I was like, we will drive to the bank now. You will get cash out. Give it to me. And so I made the video, or I had all this footage. I was like, well, how do I put this together? Like, I don't want this guy to look like an idiot. So I was like, I try to be really gracious and say, like, all right, I'm going to show you what happens, and I want you to tell me what you see. To me, there were three or four violations of just the private party selling etiquette. And so the video went out. 8 or 10,000 people saw it. Jeez. And then the guy...
I remember watching this video.
Yeah, and then the guy called me. And said he was going to sue me.
Because I was like an idiot, right?
That I'd ruined his life. And then he tells me, like, the saddest story, which I'm like, I get it. And it's also, I've never met someone that's so fragile as a person. He was like, well, I told my wife I was going to leave my job and become a singer-songwriter. And that's how I would support our family and four kids. And she doesn't believe in me. And then I watched this video on our anniversary. And then you just made me look like a terrible person. And I just, like, I need you to take the video down. I was like, okay, fine. I'll take the video down.
Did he keep the guitar?
No, they gave me the guitar back. But he'd restrung the guitar with classical guitar strings.
Whoa.
Interesting.
So, like, ball in nylon strings. But it was just, it was an interesting lesson in, like, okay, wow. So.
What a good adventure.
So maybe it's like, it's helpful content, but I also live in a small town. And so it's like.
Right.
People will know who I'm talking about.
Well, I've always thought, like, when you're selling guitars as an individual person too, like, I've always, there's no returns, and that's like a deal is a deal.
Yeah, it's what's
like
that phrase? Caveat emptor, like, buyer beware.
Going Latin here.
Yeah, you know, fancy. I went to a president school.
He's a fancy guy. I went to a boarding school too. It was called Juvie. You
know, it's okay. School of Hard Knocks. Dementors.
Ooh, that's a good one. That reminds me of the John 5 thing I saw on YouTube or on Instagram today. John 5 at the Fender Custom Shop. Being dangerous. there's not much danger there.
It's just a bunch of guitar nerds. I like walking around. That's a cool story, though. But in general, though, like you enjoy the process, obviously.
Yeah, and I like people. I like helping people figure out how to buy guitars because it's not. It's a million skills.
It's not super complicated if you've been doing this for decades, but it is complicated now with the world of what we live in, with the vintage pieces, with the fakes, with all the new stuff coming out. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you price your pieces? How do you get the most for it? You have a course on it that's available.
So that's where basically, like, as I've made, I think I've made 380 videos or something at this point. And, but for me, like, yeah, cause I do like one or two videos a week. And, you guys pump them out. But yeah, so I started kind of finding, like, okay.
To like German mothers in the 20s. Lots of babies here. Mm-hmm.
I remember building my website and dreaming of the day that someone would fill out that form on my website and say, what would you recommend? Sitka spruce or cedar or like, you know, mahogany or rosewood. And then I got to where, like, by the end of last summer, I was getting 100 emails a week asking questions about, like, how much is this Ibanez worth? Or should I buy this? How do you know what a guitar is worth? How do I sell guitars? And so we compiled all of the emails. Like, my admin, she just kind of looked through stuff. She's like, all right, so here are the three main threads that people don't know how to do. They don't know how to buy guitars right. They don't know values. They don't know how to negotiate. And then the second thing is they don't know how to sell guitars. They don't know what they should keep. Third one is they don't know how to collect, like, this guitar and this guitar, what collection of them. So we just broke it down, and like I was doing YouTube videos, we ended up coming up with 19 videos that are everything you would need to know on how to buy the right guitars, sell the wrong guitars, and build a collection that's meaningful to you, that's representative of you. And so we launched that on Black Friday of last year.
It's new, yeah.
It's pretty new. And, you know, we've had a chunk of people go through it, and everyone has said, like, there's no possible way I would have learned this stuff without wasting a couple $1,000s in bad guitars. So it's been really fun, and it's really cool. And my favorite thing is kind of hearing people and kind of debriefing with people as they finish the course.
I might make you give me this course so I can do a review on it.
Oh, sure. I would love that.
I'd be curious to sort of watch it.
I know. And that's right. I buy a lot of
guitars and sell guitars too. So it'd be fun to sort of see. I might learn some things too.
I know.
Seriously.
But I feel like, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you will know. All right. But yeah, I mean, one of the most interesting things to me is that you don't ever arrive in your understanding of guitars or values, because I'm now at a place where, like, I've been doing this long enough that, like, in my head, oh, Mexican Strat's $350-$400. Right. No, it's not. Not anymore. Right. And so you get to where just the prices are changing. And
well, it's the same as, like, staying up to date with new music. I think that's vital as a musician.
Yeah.
I try to. I listen to, like, new music radio all the time on Sirius. That's what old people do because they can afford it. But that's the only way I can do it, because I'm not young like Sean or Jonathan or Jeremy. I appreciate
you throwing me in there.
You're not
young. We all know it's a lot.
That was just throwing a bone to you. You're an old man now.
Jonathan, how old are you?
40.
40?
He passed the threshold.
You look good.
Oh, thank you. That's why I keep all this facial hair.
Yeah.
Hides all the detail.
I like the divots and, like, the right. You know, the pustules. The
scarring and yeah.
It's disgusting up there. No, that's cool. Yeah, I would love to check it out. So you have to get me.
Cool. Yeah. I'll send you a link.
I do that sometimes. I've checked out. You know, I've looked at Paul David's course. Tony Policastro's course as well. Yeah.
I love Tony. He's been such a good friend to me.
He's such a good guy too. He's just, because I remember him back in the day when he was at Music Villa.
Yeah.
And, like, he was building the acoustic letter, and I love that.
Yeah.
And he always played the same, like, few songs perfectly. And I loved, because I could hear the guitars.
It's an amazing level of precision and dedication to do that. Because I think he did, like, 450 of them.
Yeah, and it was, he's just so easygoing, relaxed. And, like, you know, and 20 years ago, you wouldn't want that man walking into your place asking for your daughter's hand. And now that's, like, a good-looking guy in today's society. That's what I like. Like, oh, a nice long beard, long hair. He has a job on the internet.
Hand tattoos.
What? Yeah. He gets paid for YouTube.
I remember he called me a couple of years ago, and he's like, hey, this is Tony Policastro. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, Tony. And he is so nice. Like, he's just as nice and kind and generous.
We made his top five YouTube channels of the year.
Whoa. For guitar. That's awesome.
I think we were four.
Yeah, we were somewhere in there. You know,
okay.
I think we maybe we were 4-3. I can't remember.
It blew our friend Z's mind because he's like a huge fan of Tony.
Yeah,
he thinks that I sort of look like him, and so he was like Tony's video, but I was the thumbnail, which made me very excited. So Z,
you're like a more masculine version of Tony.
I feel like I just need more tattoos.
Yeah,
need some hand tattoos.
Yeah, you just have those like goofy music notes. But besides that, you're just a scary man.
That's true.
No, we were very proud though. I think we were sandwiched between like Peach and Anderton.
That's true.
Yeah, that's like great.
There, so
they're American brethren.
Yeah, dude, I had I had Rob Chapman on my channel.
Really?
We did a video. So I have a series where it's called Guitar Huntry in Another Country. Oh, that's awesome. I just talked to people all around the world about buying guitars. But I had Rob, and he's so funny and so kind. And we talked about like, hey man, what's it like to be canceled? Because that seems awful.
Yeah, dude, that was a train wreck.
Dude, like, he got hit hard.
I still don't really understand everything that happened. Because I've watched all the videos, all the ones about like what happened there. And I left and be like, I still don't get it.
Yeah.
Did he say something mean to somebody once and then he just got wrecked?
No, it's literally, there's like two videos of people that just conjecture. Like, I mean, they basically said he said he was giving money to charity and then he didn't. And
I've never even heard that charity part of this whole thing. I just like somebody doesn't like, Rob said something mean to somebody and like, we're going to cancel
it. It was very convoluted. Like, oh, some of the people who follow his
or
channel.
Or he bullies people or something.
Right, like that's what it was. Like, yeah, it was very strange.
Yeah.
But see, the thing that I heard was more about like his guitars. Like it has something to do with his guitars and the charity thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then afterwards, I heard the stuff about him bullying other
people. Was it because, though, they said something about the guitar? I don't know.
I don't know. It was something about him, well, there like, was going some, to places.
They had like a deal with Guitar Center that fell through, and then they.
Right.
It's his stuff. I don't want to talk about his stuff.
We don't know either. That's the thing. I've always enjoyed his content.
I told him when I had him on the channel, like, I told him, like, the Miku video and just his friendship with Lee is my favorite thing on, like, for guitar culture.
Yeah.
It's so good. And you guys have such a good dynamic, too, between you two.
Well, yeah, because, like, we're genuine friends.
Right?
Are we? Silence!
Silence, you plebe. We're going to stay with the Latin context. No, and I love, Lee and Chappers were great. And I love Danish Pete and Lee, too.
Yes.
You know, it's like, they're sort of the kings of that sort of, like, the product demo duos.
Right.
Yeah.
And like when we launched ours, we said, we're a duo, but we're not going to do any of what they do. We're just going to, like,
I know.
And that was a very like thought out idea. And then then what we do is not thought out, you know, like the theory of
hours of research.
No. And I kind of love, like, here's the idea, riff on it.
Yeah.
Like that feels like a musician kind of thing to do.
We're the Jimi Hendrix of YouTube.
I've always said that from day one.
Sometimes we might catch the shit on fire too, and it's not in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Bad.
That's what, like, I always, because my experience of making YouTube videos is largely lonely. Like, I'm by myself.
It's totally different.
Yeah, it's like I don't have like a crew. Like, literally, the guitar shop in my hometown exploded at the beginning of the pandemic. Like, there was a gas leak in the building, and the entire building blew up.
He means literally exploded.
Like, exploded.
Oh, yeah, we still like guitars, too. Oh,
we
got really big,
and it got weird. No, it exploded.
That's
like our barbecue restaurant.
There's a terrifying video of hometown music in Harrisonburg, Virginia, blowing up in a mushroom cloud.
Whoa.
So a friend of mine, it happened like right, like across the creek from a park. My friend lives on the other side of the park, almost a mile away.
It's a nighttime or daytime?
Like 8:15 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Is
it a gas leak?
Yeah. It was like an immense gas leak. It was like a strip mall. So there were five businesses. There was a halal meat market that the guy had opened at 7, but he forgot his phone at home. And so he was like, I'm just going to run home real quick. He's pulling out of the parking lot as the explosion happened.
See, like, our guitar shop, we're all here pretty much before 8, so we would have been dead. No, like, we're like we're the one guitar shop where we show up before noon.
Yeah.
Like, the most guitar.
But you don't open
till 11.
Till 11.
The showroom hours are 11 to 5.
But that's when you got to get stuff done in that first couple hours.
We're doing business from, like, 8 in the morning until, like, 8 at night.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what it is. And then beyond that, too, if there's things to go,
but
the showroom itself is open from 11 to 5.
Okay. So, so from the guitar shop that exploded, a friend of mine who lives almost a mile away was found a drum key and then like the part of a rim from a drum
in his
front yard. And then I went by and I have a snare drum that was in the fire that's all burned up and it sits on my on my ledge. But I've got my friend Elliot in town who runs a cool record shop.
So is the
but I don't have like a big...
Is the shop gone then? It's not coming
they're
back?
They're just now getting back on their feet good in Lord. A new location.
I don't even know what we would do, man. That would be a nightmare.
It's also, like the guy who owns it, Chuck, it was his 39th year of business.
And
he had not moved any, like, any of his records. They were all stored locally on a computer. And so he had to go through, like, Fender and Taylor and all of his, like, PRS, all of his companies. And be like, what inventory did I have? What was here? Because all of his records were gone. And I don't, that's where, for me, I'm like, I'm done. I'm over it. I'll just. Yeah,
that's a nightmare. Just, yeah. I'll stick to this camera, this lonely solitude life. That would be sad. Like, we do videos alone every once in a while. It's not nearly as much fun.
Not as much fun.
Yeah.
It's very just like more matter of fact.
You got to be 130% by yourself. And sometimes it feels like you're playing a character of yourself, especially if you're in that feedback loop of like, I talk to a camera and then I watch that footage from a camera and I edit.
Oh my Lord. Yeah.
Because you're doing the editing.
Yeah. I edit myself, which I had an editor for a while. But we just recently switched gears to where I'm back editing my own stuff.
I wouldn't want to edit us. That would make me mad. I
went to do pedal videos for us at one point. Derek helped me with setting up the cameras and just editing the footage and trying to get used to hearing my own voice talk about something and not feel like I'm messing it up or anything. You know, it's
you were being so hypercritical.
I know. And this sucks.
And that's natural. Like, that's why we don't want to edit ourselves because we know a lot of it's
I don't even
trash.
Like when Derek sits out there and I have to hear myself.
I don't know.
Well, that's
like listening to my cackling laughter.
It's like watching your own porn.
Well, it's like
you, you're like, oh god, I look like that.
And then like the YouTube comments and stuff. Derek always told me he's like, I don't want you to be on there, and then people to like blow you out.
Have any of you ever commented on a YouTube video yourself?
No.
Never. So why do we read what lunatics?
Yeah,
that's true.
That's the thing.
True.
I went through it, and they were all like nice. They were all like happy.
I still read
like,
them.
Okay, good.
But but it doesn't make it better.
No, I still have. The best bad best comment ones, I've ever gotten was, if you want to see an even fatter James Corden, who's also bad at guitar, this channel's great for you.
Oh, my God. Yes.
That's a good one. That makes me happy. Our best mean one was to James. It was the mayonnaise. He looks looks like a jar of mayonnaise in an oversized T-shirt.
It's like, oh, yeah, cool.
Oh, I just love
brutal.
It.
That was early on, too. That was like 6 months of YouTube channeling, and that one came through. That was tough.
But we don't have the ability to like read all the comments immediately now, so we're backlogged on it, like trying to respond, and it's hard.
Yeah.
And some of them we just can't. It's just not. There's that. I hate that post and ghost mentality. We don't try to do that at all. But we try to get to it. It just takes us weeks now because we're behind.
Yeah. But then you also have to like, because so if you don't know YouTube, there's also this. You can set up the qualifications for what would flag or hide a comment, but what it takes is you have to then write out every word you don't want to be called. Fat, stupid, lazy, dumb, ugly. Don't allow any of these words. These are the ones that really hurt my feelings.
Can I send these to my wife?
Sure.
Stop calling me these mean.
Absolutely not.
Sad.
Just say anything you need to say to me, you have to post in a comment if it doesn't post.
Do you guys have anything else you want to talk to Jeremy about? Because Jeremy has to get on the road to Charlotte. Just kidding. True. To Raleigh soon because Charlotte's the wrong direction. He's got to go see his brother, man. He's going to hang out and like party.
Yeah.
Isn't that going to be cool? I mean.
Yeah, it'll be good. Yeah.
Seen
it's like,
good.
He's like myself, but he's red-haired.
Ew.
Yeah.
So he's worse.
Yeah.
The life of a ginger.
Man, soulless bastards. Hey, Jeremy, thanks so much for coming and hanging
out
with
us
today.
Dude, this is so fun.
It's been fun. Like,
let's do this again.
We're going to make you famous.
Yeah.
Infamous when we get arrested here. Tax evasion, baby. No, seriously, it's been great, man.
Yeah, this is really good.
Thanks for having me. Listen, I can't wait to talk to Jeremy more soon. We'll talk to him again in the future.
I'm sure
we will. He's pretty. He's funny. He's still dancing. He's arm dancing. You know, that's that.
He's good hacks.